بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who does not resemble the creations. To him belong the endowments and the befitting perfections and commendations. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Inshallah, today we will talk about the verses of the Quran, the muhkamat verses and the mutashabihat verses. Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات. This verse in Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 7, means Allah is the one who has sent down to the Prophet the book that contains muhkamat ayat, which are the foundation of the book, and other ayat, which are mutashabihat. So, brothers and sisters, know firmly that the Quran contains two types of ayat: the muhkamat ayat and the mutashabihat ayat. And we will give examples about them, insha'Allah. The verses of the Quran that are muhkamat, they are the verses that have only one meaning according to the rules of the Arabic language, or else the meaning of the ayah is clearly known. Examples of this type of ayah is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura. قال الله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء. This verse means absolutely there is nothing like Allah. Allah تعالى also said ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. This verse also means there is nothing which is equal to him. Allah تعالى said هل تعلم له سميا. This verse also means do you know of anything which is similar to him? There is none. These ayat, their meaning is clear and obvious. Their clear meaning indicates that Allah does not resemble the creations in any way. And these verses or such verses are the foundations of the book of Al-Quran. Now the mutashabihat ayat, those types of ayat can have many meanings. According to the rules of the Arabic language, they may have more than one meaning. Assigning meanings to these verses requires thorough thinking so that acceptable meanings are given to them by the mufassirin, the interpreters of Al-Quran. Such examples of those verses that contain more than one meaning and cannot be taken literally are like the verse in Surah Taha, Ayah 5, قال الله تعالى الرحمن على العرش استوى, or the verse in Surah Fatir, الله تعالى said إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب. According to the rules of the Arabic language, these ayat are mutashabihat, so they can have many meanings. If meanings are assigned to them, this must be done in a manner that complies with the language and the religion and does not contradict the verses that are muhkamat, which we gave examples about recently. Surely the ayat of the Quran do not contradict one another in any way. Likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they do not contradict one another. And they do not contradict the Quran either. Now for the ayat that are muhkamat and for the ayat that are mutashabihat, one has to be qualified to be interpreting them. Now for the mutashabihat ayat, there are two methodologies for explaining them. The methodology of the Salaf and the methodology of the Khalaf. Now the Salaf were the scholars who lived during the first 3 centuries after the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the most part, this methodology consisted of giving general explanations, since the scholars of the Salaf believe that these ayat have meanings befitting to the perfection of Allah. Rather than saying what these meanings are, they referred to these mutashabihat ayat that have more than one meaning. They referred them to the muhkam ayat. So they said, this mutashabih ayah, we will refer to the muhkam ayah, which will interpret the meaning, the general meaning of this mutashabih ayah. A good example is the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i. He said, آمنت بما جاء عن الله على مراد الله وبما جاء عن رسول الله على مراد رسول الله. Which means, I believe in what Allah revealed according to the meaning that Allah willed, and with in what the Messenger of Allah conveyed according to the meaning that the Messenger of Allah willed. So in other words, the proper befitting meanings are not according to the physical meanings that delusions would lead to, such as places, shapes, limbs, movements, sitting, colors, directions, smiling, laughter, or any other meanings which are not permissible to be attributed to Allah. Furthermore, the Arabs during these three centuries spoke the Arabic language with a natural disposition and a great eloquence. Their understanding of the Quran was much sharper than the people that came after them. So they did not need to specify specific meanings to the mutashabihat ayat. Instead, they understood that these ayat have meanings that befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a how, without a shape, and without attributing to Allah physical meanings. Example of that is the saying of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who said about the verse of al-istiwa, he said, Istawa kama akhbar, laysa kama yakhturu lilbashar. Which means, Allah istawa. He made the istiwa. Allah had istiwa on al-arsh as he mentioned, as he conveyed, as he mentioned in the Quran. Not as people may imagine. And he also said, and Imam Dhunnun al-Masri as well said, مَهْمَا تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Whatever you imagine in your minds, Allah is different from that. Now, nevertheless, it is well known that some of the scholars of the Salaf, the true Salafis, also did attribute specific meanings to the mutashabihat ayat. For example, in his Sahih, in the chapter of Tafsir al-Quran, the explanation of the Quran, Imam al-Bukhari attributed a specific meaning to the term illa wajhah in Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 88. Allah Ta'ala said, kullu shay'in halikun illa wajhah. Imam al-Bukhari qala fi tafsirihi illa mulkah. So Imam al-Bukhari, in his tafsir to this verse, he said illa mulkah. That is, he said, the word wajh, which is an attribute of Allah, means mulk or dominion. So he made ta'wil to this verse. And he did not say Allah has a face, because Allah is clear from having faces and from having organs. As for the methodology of the Khalaf were the scholars who lived after the first three centuries, after the Salaf. For the most part, this methodology consisted of giving specific meanings to the mutashabihat ayat, which are verses that have more than one meaning. The scholars of the Khalaf lived at a time when the people started to lose their natural disposition of the Arabic language, and when many people started to come into Islam and embrace Islam with different languages. Seeing that the people had become weaker in the language, the scholars of the Khalaf feared that those with perversity in their hearts would read meanings into the mutashabihat ayat that do not befit Allah. For example, they feared what is mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, what Allah Ta'ala said about the people. Allah Ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. Which means, those who have perversity in their hearts, they follow the mutashabihat ayat, seeking discord and searching for unbefitting meanings based on their delusions. And that's why the Khalaf, in order to protect the creed of Islam, they followed the example of those scholars among the Salaf, who chose to give specific meanings to the mutashabihat ayat. As we mentioned, Imam al-Bukhari, he made ta'wil to the verse illa wajha. He said illa mulka, and al-Bukhari was among the salaf. So the khalaf, they followed that example, and they started referring those ayat that are mutashabihat to the muhkam ayat. They gave specific meanings to the mutashabihat ayat in compliance with the language and the religion. They gave correct, acceptable meanings to the mutashabihat ayat. Allah Ta'ala said, قال الله تعالى وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. This ayah means in Surah Al-Imran, verse 7, no one knows their true meanings except Allah and those who are firmly rooted in the language of the religion. It is well known that Ibn Abbas is generally regarded as being foremost among the companions in the explanation of the meanings of the ayat of the Quran. So the Khalaf, they made ta'wil to the verses of Al-Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, he made supplication to Ibn Abbas. He said, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmata wa ta'wil al-kitab. Rawahu Ibn Majah wal-Bukhari wa ghayruhum. Which means, O Allah, teach him the knowledge of hadith and the explanation, the ta'wil of the Quran. So Imam Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he made tafsir to Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and in some verses for the ayat that are mutashabihat, he also made ta'wil, explanation to those mutashabihat ayat. In the chapter Tafsir al-Quran for Imam al-Bukhari, he said the term wajhahu in Surah al-Qasas, as we mentioned, he said it means his dominion. However, those mushabbiha, group of people who attribute to Allah what does not befit him and liken Allah to the creations, they say, we do not interpret, but rather we go by the literal meaning. And hence they say wajhahu here means his face, and that does not befit. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his book Al-Fatih, an explanation of the meaning of Sahih al-Bukhari, in volume 6, page 39 to 40, he said, in reference to al-Bukhari's saying that the attribute of Allah, al-Dahik, means mercy, it is closer to say that it means acceptance of deeds. Yet the Mushabbiha insists on taking the literal meaning, and they say that Allah smiles or laughs. Allah is clear from that. Allah Ta'ala said, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقُ. This is another example. The scholars of the Salaf explained the term saq here by hardship, and it does not mean the part of the leg. Also Allah Ta'ala said, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Imam Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas, he said the word wajh here means qibla, the direction of the prayers. It does not mean the face or the organ. Allah Teala said, فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. If this was taken literally, it would mean Allah blew part of his soul into Isa, Jesus, and this is wrong. However, the scholars, they said this ayah means Allah ordered Jibreel to blow into Isa's soul, which is honorable to Allah. Another verse, Allah Ta'ala said, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. If it was taken literally, it would mean what has stopped you from performing sujood to what I have created with my hands. However, the scholars of tafsir, they said yaday here or yadain also means the care of Allah. Yet the mushabbiha insist that yadain means hands, the attribute to Allah, the organs. Allah Ta'ala said, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The ignorance of the mushabbiha leads them to take the literal meaning by saying Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. And this is wrong. The scholars, they said, this ayah means Allah is the creator of guidance in the occupants of the skies, which are the angels, and the occupants of the earth. Allah Ta'ala said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ in Surah Al-Fajr, ayah 22, would mean, if it was taken literally, Allah comes, or your Lord comes. But it was related that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who is among the authorities of the Salaf, he said, this ayah means, an indication of the power of Allah has come. Also in his book, Manaqib Ahmad, Hafiz Imam al-Bayhaqi, established that the sanad, the chain of narrators, is sahih, it is authentic. Also Imam Ibn al-Jawzi al-Hanbali, one of the authorities of the school of Imam Ahmad, related that Imam Ahmad assigned specific acceptable meanings to the ayat which are mutashabihat. So Imam Ibn al-Jawzi is confirming that Imam Ahmad did make ta'wil to the verses that are mutashabihat, that have more than one meanings. He also said this is a proof that Imam Ahmad did not believe that the maji', which is the noun of ja'a in the verse waja'a, is not a movement from one place to another. Also Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he said, it is not possible that Allah would move, yet the mushabbiha, they attribute to Allah the movement from one place to another. Also Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu affirmed in explaining the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related by Al-Bukhari, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. This hadith was narrated by Imam Al-Bukhari. Imam Malik explained this hadith as a descent of mercy and not that movement that some mushabbiha think. The mushabbiha, they insist on taking the literal meaning of this ayah, and they say the nuzul is a physical nuzul, a descent of Allah from one place to another, and this does not befit Allah. And as we said, the scholars, they confirmed that this descent, coming down of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, they bring the mercies down onto the people. Copying from Imam al-Ash'ari, Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Asma'u wa-Sifat, he said, Allah Ta'ala is not in a place. Movement, coming to rest, and sitting are not among the attributes of Allah. They are among the attributes of the bodies. Also, Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali explained the term Al-Istiwa, Surah Taha, Ayah 5, قال الله تعالى الرحمن على العرش استوى. Many people misinterpret this ayah and they attribute to Allah what does not befit him. So Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the great scholar, he said istawa here means istawla, which means subjugating. When al-istila is used to explain this ayah, it means that Allah subjugated the arsh with a subjugation that is without a beginning. Like all of the attributes of Allah, they are without a beginning. The ayah is explained in this manner. It means that Allah was attributed with subjugating the arsh before the arsh was created, in the same way that Allah was attributed with being the creator before anything from the creation existed. Now, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, Istawa kama akhbar, la kama yakhturu lil bashar. So he did not specify in this saying the meaning of istiwa. He said, Istawa as Allah Ta'ala mentioned, unlike some people may imagine. Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he gave a specific meaning. He said, Istawa here means istawla, which is to subjugate. In this context, the scholars have used the term al-azal, which means the status of existing without a beginning. So the istiwa of Allah is without a beginning. Thus, it can be said Allah subjugated the arsh in al-azal, meaning Allah subjugated the arsh with a subjugation which is without a beginning. However, the mushabbiha insist on taking the literal meaning and they say istawa, or the istiwa means sitting, or means Allah sits on the throne and firmly establishes himself on it. And this does not befit Allah in any way. Imam al-Bayhaqi reported from the scholars about the hadiths that are mutashabih. He said, أَمِرُّوهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفِيَّةِ, which means accept them, those hadiths that are mutashabih, and those ayat that are mutashabih, that have more than one meaning, he said, accept them as they came without applying a how to them, that is, without applying a manner of being to those ayat. Another example of a mutashabih hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when was asked by a black slave woman a question, Ayn Allah? The scholars, they said this meant he was asking her about her belief in the status of Allah. Now this hadith is considered by some as weak, like Imam al-Bayhaqi, he said this hadith is muttarib. But some scholars who accepted this hadith, they said that it would mean that the Prophet is asking her belief in the status of Allah. And so she answered, fi as-sama'. And they said this means the meaning that Allah has the highest status. However, the mushabbiha insist on taking the literal meaning, saying that the Prophet asked her about the place of Allah and that she said he is in the sky, meaning that Allah resides in the sky. And this does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fil sama', rawahu al-Tirmidhi. This hadith, it means if you are merciful to those on earth, the angels who occupy the heavens will bring unto you the mercy of Allah. Yet the mushabbiha, they say, Allah who occupies in the heavens will be merciful to you. This does not befit Allah. Because there is another narration to this hadith for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that means the occupants of the heavens will be merciful unto you. Allah will make them bring the mercy down. Also in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ, which is a hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. If taken by the method of the mushabbiha, it would mean Allah is between the person and the neck of his animal. This is a contradiction. And the other hadith, Hadithul Jariyah, the black slave woman, they said the hadith means Allah has a place which is the sky. And in this hadith, they say Allah is between the person and the neck of his animal. So it's contradiction. They are making these hadiths contradict themselves. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Quran, they do not contradict in any way. So these hadiths and those verses cannot be taken literally. Likewise, the ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, قال الله تعالى, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. This verse, if taken literally, it would mean Allah is with you wherever you are. But the scholars, they said, no, it means Allah knows about you wherever you are. He is not everywhere, as some ignorant people say. Likewise, in the ayah, أَلَا إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٌ. If taken literally, it would mean Allah surrounds everything. Furthermore, the saying of Allah Ta'ala that Ibrahim said in Surah As-Safat, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. If this ayah was taken literally, it would mean Ibrahim is saying Allah is in the countries of Asham. He said, I am going to Asham, He will guide me. So they would say Allah is in Asham, that's why He's going there. Since this ayah was relating about Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, while he was moving from Iraq to the countries of Asham. Also in another ayah, أن طهر بيتي. If taken literally, it would mean the Kaaba is the residence of Allah. It would mean that Allah is physically with the pious. Allah is clear from all of that. These ayat, they cannot be taken literally like that. It is clear that if these ayat are interpreted based on the literal meanings, this will lead to numerous contradictions. The great scholars of Islam have ascribed proper and acceptable meanings to the mutashabihat ayat, the mutashabihat ahadith as well, in accordance with the religion, with the Arabic language, and by referring them to the clear muhkamat ayat. So, they said, Surah Al-Hadid, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, means Allah knows about you wherever you are. Also, Surah Fussilat, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, أَلَا إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٌ. It means Allah knows everything. It does not mean Allah is everywhere or He surrounds everything. قال الله تعالى أن طهر بيتي. This ayah means the Kaaba is a house of great honor to Allah. It does not mean Allah resides in the Kaaba or in any place. Allah exists without a place. He does not occupy a space or a place. Time and place do not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Allah ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Qahir here, the fawqiyya, aboveness of subjugation, not aboveness of a place. So this ayah refers to the aboveness of subjugation. This ayah means all are subjugated to Allah. It does not mean Allah is above everyone. قال الله تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا. This ayah means Allah supports those who are pious. It does not mean that Allah is physically with the pious. Allah is clear from place. He does not occupy space or place. Also the ayah الرحمن على العرش استوى, Surah Taha, ayah 5. It means Allah subjugated the arsh in the azal, eternity, with a subjugation which is without a beginning, like all the attributes of Allah. It does not mean Allah sat on the throne. Allah existed before the throne, before the heavens, without sitting and without occupying a place. And after He created the creations, He did not change. Change is from the signs of the creation. Now, in taking the literal meaning of the mutashabihat ayat, the mushabbiha would contradict the muhkam ayat. Like the surah, Ash-Shura, ayah 11, قال الله تعالى, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Which means, absolutely there is nothing like Allah, and Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. They try to escape the contradiction by camouflaging it, saying that Allah has a face, but without countenance. And Allah has a direction which is above, but we do not know how it is. And they say Allah has a shin, but we do not know how His shin is. Moreover, they say that Allah sits, but we do not know how His sitting is. This is a contradiction, does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great Hanafi linguist, the scholar of hadith, Imam Murtada al-Zabidi, in his book, Ithafu al-Sadati al-Muttaqin, he refuted those people. He refuted those who reject acceptable meanings to be assigned to the ayat that are mutashabihat and insist on taking the literal meanings. He said, in essence, they are slandering the office of prophethood. They are claiming that the prophet did not know the meaning of the attributes of Allah that were revealed to him. And they are claiming that he called the creation to believe in that which he was ignorant about. However, Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran about Al-Quran, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. The Quran was revealed in clear, explicit Arabic. So Al-Zabidi proceeded to say, those people who take a position against assigning acceptable meanings, ta'wil, are basically likening Allah to the creation. However, they camouflage it by saying that He has an organ, or He has a hand, not like the hands of the creation, and a shin, not like the shin of the creation, and a physical istiwa that we cannot comprehend. He addressed them. He said, you're saying we take it by the literal meaning and it is incomprehensible. This thing is contradictory in itself. If you take by its literal meaning, then As-Saq in Surah Al-Qalam, Ayah 42, is a shin, which is part made up of flesh, bones, muscle, and nerves. You cannot attribute that to Allah. So he said to them, if you take by the literal meaning, then you have committed blasphemy. And if you deny it, then how do you claim to take it by the literal meaning? So he refuted them. Imam Al-Zabidi refuted them. So rest assured that the methodologies of both the Salaf and the Khalaf are correct, and neither of them attribute anything to Allah that does not befit Him. In simple terms, one correct way of explaining the mutashabihat ayat, the verses that have more than one meaning in the Quran, is to say one believes in them according to the meaning that Allah willed, without saying what that meaning is. So you don't have to say istawa means istawla, but with the belief that istawa is not like sitting. Without a how, that is, without attributing to Allah the sitting, the standing, the occupying places, sensuous attributes, or any of the meanings that apply to the humans and other creations. One must clear Allah from non-befitting attributes. Because the one who attributes to Allah an attribute of the creations would blaspheme and would belie the saying of Allah, absolutely nothing resembles Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. So following this method, one would say Allah has an istiwa which befits Him, which is not sitting. And Allah has a yad which befits Him, which is not an organ, which is not a hand. And Allah has a wajh that befits Him, which is not a face, it is not an organ. You cannot attribute any organs or limbs to Allah. Now the second correct way, acceptable way, that has occurred and the companions and the scholars followed, is by explaining the mutashabihat ayat. You are giving a meaning, an explicit meaning to the mutashabihat ayat. And this happened. An example would be, for example, saying the istiwa of Allah means istila or qahr, to preserve the throne. His yad means His care. His wajh means His self, His dominion, or His qibla, according to what the scholars said, like Ibn Abbas, Ibn al-Jawzi, al-Bukhari, and others. They made literal ta'wil to those mutashabihat ayat. Also know that among the mutashabih are things that only Allah knows about, such as the day of the judgment's occurrence. When will it occur? The exact day the sun will rise from its setting place, the exact time when the Dajjal would appear, and the like. Those, they would fall under the meanings of the ayah, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Which means, no one knows the meaning of that kind of mutashabih except Allah. So some mutashabih we do not know, such as the occurrence of the Day of Judgment and the Dajjal and the like. But the other mutashabih ayat, such as the istiwa, such as the ihata, such as the yad, such as the nur, and all that, they befit Allah in a way that clears Allah from the bodily attributes or the attributes of the creations. May Allah protect us and you from falling into the trap of likening Allah to His creations. Ameen. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ بِمَعْنًا مِّن مَعَانِ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. In his book Al-Aqidatu al-Tahawiyyah, which is taught all over the Muslim countries and universities and others, he said, whoever attributes to Allah any of the meanings pertaining to humans commits blasphemy. And he also said in this book, لا تحويه الجهات الست كسائر المبتدعات. أي الله لا تحويه الجهات الست كالمخلوقات. So this means the six directions do not contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to keep us steadfast on the correct path and the creed of the Islamic scholars. Among the Salaf and the Khalaf, we seek refuge with Allah from falling into the trap of riddah, apostasy, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith related by At-Tirmidhi, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسًا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. This hadith means, the slave shall utter with a word he does not see harmful that will cause him into the falling into hellfire for 70 autumns, that is 70 years. This is a place that only the kuffar will reach. So this word that that person uttered is blasphemous word, that's why it resulted in his falling into hellfire. Even if he was Muslim, because of the blasphemy that he uttered, or he believed, or he committed, he falls into hellfire. That's why the person has to be cautious. And Allah Ta'ala also said, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Which means, every word that a person utters will be written down by the two angels, Raqib and Atid. So the person has to be extremely observant of what he utters. Also beware of books that are claimed to be interpretations of the Quran or translations of its meanings, and in which they liken Allah the Exalted to His creation by attributing to Allah light, hands, eyes, shins, faces, sitting, directions, places, and the like. Allah is clear from all of that. Allah is clear of all imperfection, and He is clear of any resemblance to the creation. Allah does not resemble the creations in any way. Allah does not need any of His creations, and He does not resemble His creations in any way. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the one who is clear of resembling the creations, all non-befitting attributes, and all which the blasphemers unrightfully say about Him, and Allah knows best. والحمد لله رب العالمين.